This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, The Battle for Life, Pastor Scott speaks about joining the battle for life with God's army. This message was recorded on Sunday, February 7th, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope! Oh, a little bit hot the mic, huh? Wow. Thanks to Pastor Aaron, I heard a wonderful message, you know. I got to listen to it online, and you're right, prosperity is not when I catch all that fish. It's when the other guys catch the fish because I let them. No, just kidding, just. But last week, we took a missions offering. And give yourself a hand because you guys gave like $580-something dollars to the missions. Man. And I can say one day when you're in heaven, somebody from another country was going to come up to you and say, thank you for giving, because you gave, the missionaries were able to reach them. And I just love your spirit, your generosity, and I am so grateful to be part of this wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Amen? Well, Conrad and Jerome, thank you so much for the sacrifice that you make in going away to get trained. So you might want to write their names down on your bulletin, Conrad and Jerome, so that during the week, during the months to come, you guys can pray for them. Because, you know, they're going to Missouri. Yeah. So pray for them because, man, it is uncomfortable to leave. I mean, who wants to leave Hawaii? When I go vacation and they ask me, where are you from? I say, oh, I'm from Hawaii. They say, what are you doing here? Who wants to leave Hawaii? But they made a choice to go, and what a sacrifice to go and serve our country. So during the week, I encourage you, pray for them. And just pray and honestly ask God to protect them. Remove any fear and just keep them safe and pray that spiritually they would be growing. Amen? Wow, Super Bowl, and all you guys are here. God, this is probably going on like my 15th Super Bowl being sober. What a good feeling, man. You know, because before this, every year I would get up Monday morning and people would be talking about the plays of the game. And it's like, but I don't remember. You was watching the game? Yeah, I was watching the game. But you said, how was that commercial? I don't know. I don't remember. Who won? I don't remember. Man, and it was like, it was, you know, back in the day, my pregame would have been started at like 6 o'clock. I would call it the pregame warm-up. And I would probably have had at least 10 beers, and that's why come to the game, I'd be passed out. But it is to be able to not have to drink because of the addiction is such a good feeling. It is so, I mean, I'm not saying that you cannot drink because the Bible does not say it, but getting drunk, which I used to do, was so wrong and was so bad. I would not remember, and I'd go fishing and not fish. And now that I'm sober, man, I think we got less fish now because I fish. And now I get to watch the game with a clear mind. It is so good. So today, man, cheer for your favorite team, but don't cheer so much that it just taunts the other person and ruins the relationship. You know what I mean? Because when we get competitive, we can become very nasty, right? And how many of you can get so nasty that you start calling names the other team, and you know the kind of names that you would not say here in church? Yeah. So just have fun and enjoy. Today we're talking about the battle. There's a battle out there for life. And you know, life is so much more than us being born, growing old, and dying. You know, there's a purpose for us. There's a purpose for our lives. And you know, as you watch the game, there's a battle for winning, to win the game. And such is life. We battle against spiritual forces to win souls for the Lord. I mean, it's a constant battle. You keep inviting people, and they say, yeah, I'm going to come. And then Sunday morning, you know the distractions come. And they say, oh, sorry, I never come. My alarm never go off. Or somebody did something. And the distractions. And we keep battling to get lives saved. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus says this, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. The gate that leads to eternal life, they call it narrow. This does not mean that it is difficult to become a Christian. But it means that there is only one way to eternal life. And few decide to walk that road. I mean, believing in Jesus is believing, receiving Jesus, the only way to heaven. Because he is the one who died for our sins and made us right before God. You know, living for God may not be popular, may not be easy, but it is true and it is right. And there is a war going on. And like every war, there are winners and losers. But the difference here is eternity. Eternity, because some people will find the Lord, they will walk in his ways, they obey him, and when they die, they would go to heaven. And there are losers, some who would be lost forever, not wanting to receive Christ. They're not wanting to confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior. You know, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, it does not stop there. I think that is just the beginning. And it's like a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. Once it emerges as a butterfly, life is not over there. Life is just beginning. And just like as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, life is not over, but it just begins. It's a new beginning. Yeah, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's like a brand new start. This is what happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's on your bulletin. Would you read that with me? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, Paul, who wrote this, was able to reflect greatly on this because his life was transformed so much. He was a persecutor of Christians at one time. And then when he got transformed, he was changed from a persecutor to a proclaimer. I mean, to be in Christ is to be a brand new creation. And that is brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit, the agent of regeneration, the giver of new birth. God's new creative work begun in each and every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ and who have received him as the Lord. The old life, the old way I used to be, the way I was a slave to sin, the way I was truly a slave to alcohol, because wherever my favorite alcohol was on sale would determine where I would shop, nowhere else. I was a slave to follow that, and I was a slave because I needed to consume, and the more I consumed, the more I needed to consume. So it may not have looked like it back then from the inside, but as I look back, it's like I was exactly a slave to that sin. Every single day that we get up, it's a brand new challenge for us to live for God. And people who can live or die, people can live or die by what we do, or maybe what we don't do. Satan can use us to discourage people, or he could use us to encourage people, or use us to lead someone to salvation. 2 weeks ago, I went to the hospital to visit Auntie Violet. And you know Auntie Violet, she's the elderly lady who comes, and she comes with Brenda Parks and her family. She sits back there. She's that wonderful elderly lady, and she's in the hospital. And, you know, they said she wasn't going to make it, but when I went to see her, she smiled at me. She grabbed my hands with her two hands. She grabbed my fingers. She squeezed. She could move her toes, and I got to pray for her, and it was a wonderful time. But while I was there, Bosco was in there, and he said, "Wow, what great timing. I just brought my boss's dad down to the emergency room. Can you come down and pray for him?" And I said, "Sure." And I thought, wow, God's timing is so wonderful, because there was all these weeks that she was in there, but I didn't get to go until that 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. So we pray for Auntie Violet. We go downstairs. We get into the emergency room. He's sitting there, and now he has no legs, and he's kind of depressed. And I look at him, and I look in his eyes and say, "Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to receive Jesus?" And he says, "Yes, I do, but I don't know how." So, you know that prayer that we say at the end of service? You know, I talked to him about receiving Jesus, and we say that prayer, and then we say amen. And then I go back to my office, and then Thursday morning, that's when I went to Oahu to see my uncle, to go to my uncle's funeral. And then Friday, I'm in a meeting, and my phone keeps ringing in the meeting, keeps buzzing, and I'm in the front row, and you know when the phone buzzes and it's quiet, you can't even hear the buzz, yeah? You're looking at other people thinking, like, making, like, "What's your phone?" But it's actually your phone. And it kept buzzing. And I look, it's Bosco. I said, "Bosco, I'm in a meeting. I'm talking to myself, right?" You know, and it goes on like three times he called me. So finally, and you know, that's why I don't like to sit in the front row, because when you got to step out to use the bathroom or something, oh, kind of shame, yeah? So I'm in the front row, and it's like, oh, man. So I quietly excuse myself. I call, "Hey, Bosco, what's up? You know, I'm in a meeting." "Wow, you know the guy you prayed for?" I said, "Yeah, yeah. He just had a massive heart attack and he died." I'm like, "Oh, could you imagine what I would have felt like if I had that opportunity, or even if I didn't go, and he would have never had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ in his life?" And I'm thinking, like, wow, that is like almost as fast as the guy who was on the cross next to Jesus, where Jesus said, "Today you'll be in paradise." This guy had to wait a couple days, but could you imagine him praying that prayer? Me explaining to him that when you go to heaven, you get a new body, and now he probably has legs, and he's a whole new creation, a brand new creation. And I'm thinking, like, whew, because I'm so thankful that I did what I had to do when I had to do it, because God knows there were times when I was disobedient. But I'm so glad that I listened and I went and obeyed. It's like, whew, because there's a fierce battle going on. And although Satan has lost, he was defeated at the cross, that would not stop him and try to get as many as he can to follow him. On the other hand, the victory that Christ had at the cross, he would not stop trying to let people know how much he loves them and how much he wants them to be in heaven and how much He loved them and he died for them. Here's something that we should always remember. Because Jesus loves us, he's not going to force his way into our lives. That's why he kind of waits for us to come to him to get to know him. You know, because it's love. He wants our receiving of him to be our choice, right? And not like, okay, you better love me because I created you and I died for you. That's not the God that we serve, because he loves and he waits for us to come to him. So the thing is, number one, will you join the battle for life and death? Will you join in this battle that we are in? You know, when you watch the football game today, regardless of who you cheer for, just let it be a reminder of the battle that's going on to win lives for Jesus Christ. Think about the losing team, and think about those you may know who may be lost. And think about the cheering. Because imagine heaven, you know, cheering on that person who received Jesus Christ for the first time. The Bible says all heaven rejoices. A lot of our family and friends, they may not know that they're heading in this wrong direction. But you might be the key. You might be the key for them saying yes to the Lord. You know, my wife's grandma is 100 plus years old. And my wife has been trying to share Jesus with her for the last several years, knowing that, man, if you 100, you're not at middle age, right? Middle age is what, maybe 40, 45? Shoot, I passed middle age then. That's why it's going so fast, because we're going like this. But so she's been trying to do this with her grandma. So last week, Saturday, we went to visit her, and she is so gracious. She is such a wonderful host. And so we hang out with her, and then before we leave, you know, my wife says, let's pray. So if we go down, and she looks at me like, now's a good time. She gives me that look. Now's a good time. She holds my hand and she just keeps looking at me. So like, well, I guess that's the signal for me to pray. And so I look at Grandma. I said, Grandma, you know, do you want to know Jesus? And she says, yeah, okay, I do. So I said, pray this prayer with me. And she prays that prayer. And she says, amen. And I can see my wife. My wife, you can ask Pastor Alex. My wife is a crybaby. Because Pastor Alex is because of me. Because she would be in the front row every week when he was in Pune. And she'd be the lady in the front row crying for her lost husband. Yeah, that was me. And so I can see her crying. And I'm thinking like, wow. You know, she agreed that she wanted to know Jesus, and she prayed that prayer with me. So according to the Bible, you know, all heaven rejoices. And it's a battle. It's a battle for life and death. And 2 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called. And you may the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. See, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to convince people or inform them that this thing about knowing Jesus, it's an eternal decision. It's a life and death thing. And sometimes we need to develop, like, man, I gotta do this. We need to develop that sense of urgency. Because if we say, like, next week when I come see him, I can talk to him. I can try to get myself more prepared now. And then so that way when I come next week, I know what to say and how to say it. But like, if I did that a couple of weeks ago, there wasn't going to be no next week. You know, and the thing is, I wanted to know, would you join the battle? How many of you got this in your bulletin this morning? Yeah. And it has occurred to me that if you were presented the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ, because I wasn't around, maybe I was fishing with the men 100 miles from here down in Kowloon, and you was in the hospital next to somebody who's dying, who ain't going to wait 3 hours for me to clean up and drive all the way back to Hilo, and that's even without taking a shower. Yeah. So if you were presented with an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ, the thing that I thought of, would you know how? And if you don't know how, then I look at it as it being my fault in not properly equipping you to do the work. So I got a copy from this from New Hope Hilo, but I kind of put our logo on top with our phone number. And this bookmark is filled with scriptures on leading someone to Jesus Christ. Keep this with you wherever you go, because you get to explain to someone what it means to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And all these scriptures point to that relationship. And in the back, there is even the prayer that you can pray with them so that they may accept Jesus. So keep this with you. And if you have any questions about, you know, if it's not clear, if you have any questions about, you know, I am confused, I am not 100% sure on how I can lead someone to accept Jesus Christ, then come here this coming Wednesday. Jaywin is going to really get into detail about leading someone to Jesus Christ. And that way, when you have that opportunity, you will be confident and you will have assurance, because you will be fully equipped. Amen? So part of this training that we go through, part of fighting the good fight, taking hold of eternal life, is a thing that we get to do. And 2 Corinthians 10:13 talks about how we can be better equipped. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And so we, like Paul, we are just weak human beings. And we shouldn't be depending on human plans and methods to win our battles. But we might use godly weapons available to us as we fight the enemy and his strongholds. As Christians, we must choose to use God's methods versus the world's. And Paul assures us that God's mighty weapons, prayer, faith, hope, love, God's word, the Holy Spirit, are powerful and effective weapons that can break down the strongholds of our proud human arguments that we argue against God. And when we use these things, the prayer, faith, hope, love, God's word, we can break down these walls. When dealing with people's proud arguments that keep them from a relationship with Christ, sometimes we can get tempted to use our own methods, but nothing can break down these these barriers like God's weapon. And so we want to be in the battle for life and death. Amen? I never hear, amen?
Yes.
That's more like it. Some of you are like, amen. Think of Conrad and Jerome. They may be a little bit afraid of going away, but they made a choice. They made a commitment to go, to be in the army that battled for our freedom. But this one is God's army. And being in God's army requires action. We cannot be in God's army and just not do. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation. Okay, but that's not the part I want you to get. The part and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, a soldier back then, they wouldn't have guns and lasers and things. They had a sword to cut and stab and block and do damage, and that's the offensive weapons that we use to do God's battle. You think of the word sword. What is it? S word, sword, right? You look at it, get S and word. S word, sword, not sword, sword. But S, maybe scripture's words, I don't know, but it's the sword given by the Spirit. The sword, the word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, that is the weapon that we use as we take action. The things in here point to Jesus and that relationship we have with Him. And we need to use that word to battle, to fight, to take action. In Luke 9:23-24, Jesus says this, and He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." You know, Jesus was talking about the death of his followers. And they were to have that same attitude towards death and life as he had. See, he sacrificed himself, he denied himself, gave up his life so that we can be saved. So we must take up that fight. We must take up that fight to give up our desires and seek God's desire. And that's not like just on Sundays. It's every day. It's every day. The words Jesus spoke in this setting, you have to understand the historical context. Because not long before, the disciples had been, they've been doing their own thing. They've been working their jobs, and then they left all those things to follow Jesus. They have been engaged in telling the nation about the Messiah and His kingdom. And maybe you can say putting their lives on hold, or maybe not even that. They were kind of getting their lives and putting their lives on hold or throwing them away, because the discipling was 3 years, but the serving was forever. Amen? And many, many of them thought, wow, you throwing away this wonderful fishing business to go follow him. But Jesus assured his disciples that they were doing the right thing. They had chosen the proper values and the right one to follow. Amen? Just like you have chosen the proper values to follow the right one. The disciples were all in when it came to being in God's army. They signed up. They gave their lives for the cause. In these days, we might not face death, but we can face hostility when we're not ashamed to proclaim Jesus as the Lord. Amen? So, the thing is, we get to be in God's army. We get to take action in being that part. I mean, I love it when I see you invite your friends, because I know you got it, and you're fighting this battle by bringing your friends. And the thing is, in number three, we need to stop fighting each other. I'm not saying that we are, but the reason there are so many different denominations is because for so many years, leaders just debated on what should be and what is not. I mean, that's why denominations split. Some say, you know, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture or the mid or the post. I mean, why argue about those things when our salvation doesn't depend on it? But the basic doctrines that we believe, that Jesus was born, that he died and was crucified, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That is no argument. No, nobody can tell you otherwise. Oh no, I don't believe that. That cannot be true. Then that's when, you know, I'm sorry, because that's what it says in the Bible, and that's the doctrine, and that's what we're going to preach. Because there, in that part, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. But sometimes we fight about the debatable things in the Bible. And when we do that, we look at each other and we fight instead of looking to Jesus, who saved us. Amen? I mean, I was watching football, I don't know how many weeks ago. You watched the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bengals game? You remember that game? Man, that was a classic case of the team just self-destructing and killing themselves. Because the Bengals were clearly winning, and all they had to do was hold the ball, which they failed to do. They fumbled. Okay, Pittsburgh got the ball, but still, yeah, they were so far away from field goal range that, you know, the Bengals still had the game in control. And then the Steelers pass, because they are fourth down and like a whole bunch of yards to go. So they pass, and the receiver misses the ball. Should have been game over. But in the process of missing that ball, you might have seen it. That guy got cleaned out so badly. That Bengals player hit him so fierce that guy was just lying on the ground for minutes. And then, you know, that was a penalty. So the Steelers got second life, and they advanced the ball. And they were still on the edge of field goal range. The Bengals still could have controlled the game. But during the discussion of that penalty, one of the Bengals players touched the referee. That added another 15 yards. And it's like, man. And I'm not a Bengals fan. I'm a Steelers, more of a Steelers fan. So I was like, I was kind of happy. But the Steelers kicked the winning field goal with time running out. And I thought, like, man, you guys blew it. You guys just fought within yourselves. You guys just gave the game away. And it kind of like, that's what fighting within ourselves looks like. We could be fighting back and forth, arguing about what should be like doctrine when the Bible clearly states it. And a person passes us and they die and they don't get to receive Jesus because we're focused on what we should be preaching or should we not be preaching. When the Bible states what we should believe, and in the gray areas, we just need to pray. But we need to remember that in the gray areas, that if we do it and we call somebody to stumble, then that's sin. So we just have to be careful. And the thing is, when we're fighting with each other, nothing good will come out, because division, it cannot advance the kingdom of God. Amen? We got to realize that we are all on the same team. And that we got to realize that we are all fighting for the same cause. Amen? That is life, salvation of others, getting them saved, equipping them, and getting them healthy, and then multiplying. That's what we do. But if we fight, that's not going to happen. Amen? So I want you guys to understand, not just today, but every day, that there is a battle for lives. I mean, you cannot say, oh, I am saved. I am saved. It's all good. Laters with the rest of the world. They deserve it. We cannot have that kind of attitude. And if you have that kind of attitude, ask God to give you a heart of compassion. Because I'm sure he would. Think about those that you know that need hope. Use that bookmark to lead them. In Corinthians also, the Bible talks about a veil that blocks the unbeliever from seeing God's glory. And you might have to pray that that veil be removed and that God open the doors. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Troma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kauai, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.